Just want to mention again, we're doing the 25 Days of Blessing starting tomorrow. If you're watching online, you can participate. We encourage you to do so. Should be at the top of the Facebook page. It should be pinned to the top, a calendar of what you can do each day. If not, you can go to rlfwc.com, and at that place, you can click on the events tab, and then there's a calendar there so you can kind of see what we're up to. So we'd like everybody to participate, not only those who attend here regularly, but also those who join us online every week. So, amen. All right, we're going to look today, just to kick it off, about being a blessing. We're doing the 25 Days of Blessing. And something I wanted to share today is the idea that we are blessed to be a blessing, okay? We need to see it that way. Now, sometimes we don't feel blessed, and I'll know it. Sometimes we don't look blessed, do we? You know? But anyway, I remember, you know, back in the 80s, that's when I got saved and went to a church, and it was a word church. And, you know, after I got saved, when somebody would come up and ask you how you're doing, you'd say, I'm blessed. You know, that's just what you were supposed to say. That was the coined term back at that time. And I don't know if people still do it or not now. Probably not as much. But, you know, it didn't matter if you felt that way or not. You know, you might have just lost your job. Your dog might have died. You might have had a flat tire. You know, but you just said, I'm blessed, you know. You know, it was a positive confession. I know what it is. It's a faith confession, and we do need to do that in the face of adversity. But I think truth is, we probably, I know I didn't, totally understand what blessing was, you know. So that was just something, you know, that I did. And we're going to look today about blessing and kind of break it down a little bit, and we'll see if we do some follow-up messages or not after today. But the scripture I want to start off with, and this has really been going in me about 2 or 3 weeks now, found in Proverbs chapter 10, 22. Proverbs 10, 22, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. He brings things to our remembrance, and this scripture, just like I said, just kept bubbling out. It is the blessing of the Lord that makes rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for the unction of the Holy Spirit to be here today. Holy Spirit, we acknowledge that you are the teacher. We thank you so much for just moving in our midst. Lord, I yield to the gift you put inside of me. I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation. And we bind Satan from trying to steal that word out of our heart. Lord, we just want to glorify you. And we do acknowledge that we are a blessed people. In Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so what I wanted to do was kind of start off, and it may be, you know, you may be well ahead of me in this area, but, you know, what is a blessing is what I want to look at for what is blessing? You know, first we need to define it. If you don't really know, just like anything in life, if you don't really know what it is, how will you know when you found it? You know, many people are talking now, especially in leadership, you know, you need to define the when, you know. If you don't define what it means when you finally won, you'll never win. You'll always be chasing after something. So I want us to see, you know, really what blessing is. The word blessing, what it means is a favorable situation, condition, or experience, okay? And we should pretty well know that. I remember, you know, back in the 15, 20 years ago with the youth, defining what blessing was, and they were saying what fortunate was. And some of the girls, I tried to correct them a little bit, but they would look at a good-looking guy and they say, oh, he's really blessed, you know, he's happy or fortunate, you know. And I tried to get them, you know, you shouldn't go around saying stuff like that to strangers, you know, because you don't really know what's going to happen. But understanding what it means to a blessing, now there's two things. You know, blessing is an action. You know, you can bless others. And we should be doing that, right? You know, you may think, I don't have anything. I don't have nothing. But I believe you have something. Amen. You know? And there's always something we can do in our life to bless other people. And we should be participating in that. And that's really what our 25 Days of Blessing was all about. To be honest, I just wanted to pass out $100 a day for 25 days. And that would have been easy, you know, write a check, you know, and give it out, you know. But no, all the women got together and they thought of all these ideas we got to do. And that's all good. I'm glad they did, because it's going to be more rewarding that way. You know, I was just going to take the easy way out. But doing an action for somebody else and what that means, you know. And it can be really small or it can be really big. But, you know, the problem is that many times we as Christians walk around thinking that, hey, I'm not really blessed, because we think blessed means something way over here, and we're still right here. But we need to start right here, and then we're going to get over there, okay? Now, the second thing is blessings are spoken. You know, we speak blessing to ourselves and to other people, and you should bless yourself. Because sometimes if you don't bless yourself, nobody else is going to bless you some days, right? Have you ever had those days? Man, I'm just me. You know, some days nobody blesses me. You know, I just, it's just amazing just how many people are not curse me, but they just don't acknowledge me. It's like you're invisible, you know, out there. But see, so what you do is you just say, I'm blessed. I thank God. The blessings of God are chasing me down. You just speak those to yourself. Also, you can bless other people and use your words for good and not evil. Amen. You know, sometimes just a word of encouragement to somebody is going to turn their situation around. We don't really know what everybody's going through. There's some people going through some stuff, believe me. But if we could just speak life into their situation, that's going to be able to turn their thing around. Now, we're going to look at the first blessing, okay? The first blessing found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 28. I believe I put that scripture up there. Verify I'm still got sound, amen? Sometimes it turns me off. All right, Genesis chapter 1, 28 says, God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it and rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and every other living thing that moves on the earth. Okay, here we see the first blessing in the Bible. Okay, it was given to Adam and Eve. And it's a very powerful thing. I never really looked at it this way before. But what God did that day and how he blessed Adam and Eve. Now, he told them a couple things, and we're just going to see those. Number one, he told them be fruitful and multiply. And then he told them to have dominion. So here we see dominion was given. Okay, remember that. Dominion was given. They were blessed. They was called to rule and reign. They was called to be responsible for the world around them. And that was what they were supposed to do. And see, when we're blessed, we bear fruit, okay? And that's what God calls us Christians to do. We're supposed to bear fruit. Now, fruit, hypothetically, is for other people to enjoy. So we should be a fruitful person. And we should be, you know, in a way that we're willing to make a difference and make a change in people's lives to be able to turn their situation around. Now, the next step of the fruit is the idea that we're blessed, we're multiplying. Now, what I know about God, God multiplies more than he adds, okay? And we need to see that God does things that way. He wants us to be blessed. Now, you're not blessed as an end to yourself, and I just want to clarify that. You know, a lot of people, you know, the guy that was so rich, he prayed that God would, you know, give him so much that he just built a bigger barn. Now, it's not wrong to build a bigger barn. Because sometimes you got more stuff. But his concept of building a bigger barn was the fact that he wanted to get so much stuff that he didn't need God no more. See, if that's what we're wanting blessed for, that God gives us so much that we don't need God no more, that's a problem. Because no matter where we're at, no matter how much we have, we need to make sure that God is a part of our equation in everything that we do. If not, we're going to end up with the wrong solution. We're going to have the wrong thing going on in our life. And we need to make sure that he's a major and has a major role in everything that we do. Now, what happened then after God gave them dominion, you got to think about this. They were talking to God. It was just an amazing time. And God blessed them. And you remember, God owns everything, right? He owns everything. But what he said to them, I want you, Adam and Eve, to take responsibility and to be in charge of all the earth. I mean, think about that. We've had rulers for centuries going after world domination, haven't we? Never did understand why they go and they would just want so much more and they kill each other trying to get it. But see, we already had that. Adam and Eve had that. But what happened when they chose to listen to the serpent instead of the promise of God, curse came, okay? Now, a curse is no good. We've had curses before, right? Have you ever felt cursed? I mean, like I said before when I started, you know, you maybe lost your job, your dog got ran over, and you had a flat tire. I mean, that's borderline, you'd feel kind of cursed. I mean, you wonder if something's going wrong in your life. Something's not fixed, something that's really joining together. And some people, I'll be honest with you, some people are going to live under the curse until they learn how to live with blessing. And I believe that. And we're going to go into it a minute here, but there's a lot of Christians still under the curse, even though Jesus set them free, but they're living in lack, not having everything that they need because they just don't see it. Their eyes have been blinded. And we need to break that because God wants us to have more, not for more to have us, but so we can be a blessing. So the curse replaced the blessing after the fall of man. So right soon as that boom, their eyes were opened. And then God pronounced that curse on them. And then all of a sudden it's by the sweat of your brow and, you know, the pain of childbirth, you know, and all these things, you know, things weren't supposed to be painful or bad. But that happened. Mankind was living under a curse. And we know the Jewish people had to do certain things to get out from under it. But, you know, first remember we had blessing that was received. And now we have blessing that was lost. And blessing is not automatic now. Jesus went to the cross. And he took the curse for us. Legally, it'll stand up in any court, in heaven or anywhere else. The curse has been broken. But just because God says you're innocent, many people don't believe it. They still feel guilty. They still feel, you know, that everything's against them. And they maybe been raised that way. Just that, you know, so much death has been spoken over that nothing's going to go right. Nobody's named Murphy in here, right? Murphy's Law, you remember that one? I mean, I don't believe any of that stuff. Because Jesus broke that power. But see, we have to see that we're walking in the blessing. Blessed people do things differently than cursed people. Simple as that. You know, we need to be able to walk in that blessing and be an ambassador for God. And like it's not automatic now. See, we're born under a curse, and we need to be born again to be able to tap into that blessing of God, okay? When you get born again, you are translated from one family to another family. We're in the family of God now, and we can walk in the blessing of God. Oh, we're going to have stuff happen. You may lose a job. You may get a flat tire, and God forbid, your dog may die. You know what I'm saying? You know, they only live so long. But that doesn't mean that you can't walk with the mindset and the revelation that you are a blessed person. And you've been blessed by God. Amen. And see, it all comes down to how we look at life. And it's so important that we turn that corner. You know, see, God says that we must walk in obedience to God and to His Word to be able to walk in that blessing. Now, I know we all stumble. I know we all make mistakes. But what is our mindset? What is our center decision that we've made? Have you made that decision that, God, I want to follow You. God, I want to honor You. God, I want to walk in Your Word. Yes, you may stumble. Yes, you may fall somewhere along the line. But that's not really you. I'm kind of going into a different area I don't want to get into today, but I'm going to just share a little tidbit. You know, we've talked about man as a spirit, he has a soul, and he lives in a body, right? When you're born again, your spirit is born again. You're brand new. That's why the Bible says you're a new creation. See, that's the real you. You're a spirit being because you were created in the image of God. Okay? Then, you know, you have your body, your that you have to have a shell. But the other thing is your soul. And see, your soul is in the process. It's under a process of renewal right now. And sometimes your soul cooperates with your spirit. Sometimes your soul has attitude. Have you ever had, just like a little kid, the sweetest little kid, all of a sudden they got attitude. Where'd that come from? It's in there. That's part of the sin nature. And sometimes we don't yield to the spirit. And so, and the same way it comes with understanding, you know, just how the blessing of God starts to work and in our life and how it starts to move. See, remember the it said the blessing of the Lord makes rich and adds no sorrow to it. Okay? See, there's two systems that are in effect right now on the earth. There's only two. You know, God's system and the fallen world system. okay? You may have your own system. You know, the Chinese think they have their system. You know, our government thinks they have their system. But primarily, there's only two systems, God's way or the other way, okay? And we're going to operate in those systems, that fallen world system sometimes. And sinners, just by, you know, a default setting, is in the fallen world system. We are raised in that system. Now, not everything is totally bad in that system. There can be some good people in that system, but nevertheless, it's not God's system. So it's different. And there's some people that can make a lot of money in the fallen system, and they think they're blessed. But what does their conscience say if they really get right down to it? You know, I've done both. I've been blessed by the world, and I've been blessed by God. And I'll tell you what, there's a difference between the two. When you're blessed by God, when you know that your God has specifically moved in your life, and you know that blessing came from Him. It's a game changer. It shows that God is not far away, but God is close, okay? We understand that He's a part of our life and the importance, you know, that we need to do that. Now, like I said, there's a lot of sinners. They look blessed on the outside, but, you know, they're cursed inside, and that sorrow, you know, they may have so much, but I've watched a lot of people who have a lot of money, and they still have two problems. Number one, fear of lack. They can have a full bank account and still have plenty of checks left over, and they still worry they ain't going to have enough. I know people like that. And number two, the greedy. They just gather, but they never share. Oh yeah, it looks on the outside like they're successful, okay? They're successful by the fallen world system. But according to God's system, they fall short. They're short in the sense that they're not operating or functioning in the way that God wants them to do because they can never, ever get enough. Now, that greediness and fear of lack, in my opinion, are two of the main motivators in the fallen world system that everybody measures. Now, a lot of people measure their life by how much they have and if they or how much they don't have, however you want to look at it. But see, what happens sometimes is that the children of God, we can move in and out of both systems. And that happens especially when we're starting off with our walk with God, okay? We understand that we're not under the curse no more, we're blessed, but yet we haven't gotten to the place in our walk where we trust God totally, okay? There's a lot about trust, just like in any relationship. You know, trust is probably, you know, I don't want to say it's more important than love, but if you don't have trust, it'll wipe out a lot of love, won't it? You know, you can say you love somebody, but if you don't trust them, you're going to keep your eye on them, aren't you? You're going to keep your eye on them because you don't walk in that trust. And see, that's the importance of what we have to get, you know, when we get to the things of God, that we start to understand that. And so many of God's children live under the fear of lack because they're under the curse they feel instead of that trust. Now, we can break through that. Now, I know legally we've been set free, but I'm talking what are we experiencing here on earth? Like I've always said before, when somebody's married, you can come up here, you can say I do, and you're as married as you're going to get, especially if we sign that paper at the end. You don't want to forget to sign the paper, right? You got to sign the paper. And then I have to turn it in within 14 days. I have 14 days to turn that in. But, you know, you can sign that paper and you can say I do, but you don't really have to live married when you leave this place. You don't have to. You can go to two separate states if you want. Are you married? Legally, yes. Do you have a relationship? No. And legally, we've been born again if you've accepted Jesus Christ, okay? So that's legally what you have, and it's not going to be taken away. But are you experiencing the level of blessing and kind of relationship that you want with God? Okay? That's something we can achieve by learning to trust and to start to walk and work in God's principles. It takes a little bit of time. You know, I remember when I first got saved, there was a lot of doubts. There was a lot of things going on in my life, you know. I knew enough to be dangerous, and I was dangerous sometimes, you know, with what I knew when it came to the Bible. But over a process of time, you know, one of the smartest things I did was I surrounded myself with people of like precious faith. Because when you're around other people, they pick you up, and you can help them too. And you learn from each other. Now, I wasn't going to go, I'm going to do a series on this. I heard a preacher talk about this, and it was proven by some neuroscience. I haven't really researched it totally myself. But, you know, it talked about the idea that you become synced up in your mind a little bit with the people that you hang around with. You sort of get on the same wavelength, shall we say. And I do remember that when I was doing other things. Yeah, we were on the same wavelength. We thought alike in a lot of ways, and we started acting a certain way. And see, and now science has proven that that's why. So what does that tell you about who you should be hanging around? Think about it. Now, I know we need to be a witness. See, Jesus ate and drank with sinners, but he did not become a sinner, did he? You know, there's a time to go out and throw out the lifeline and try to bring people in, but we need to surround ourselves with people of like precious faith, and because you can build each other. And just like, you know, who you, I'm just going to use something silly, you know, who you play tennis with. You always play to the level of the person you're playing with. You know, I play with Christian. He's younger. He's faster than me. I play up. But I notice, and he'll probably won't admit it to me right now in front of everybody, but I drag him down. He doesn't play to his full potential because he doesn't have to defeat me. You know what I mean? Now, 25 years ago, I'd have gave him a game. But I'm old. I know that. That's how it works. And when you play tennis with somebody, you know, you play to their level after a while. You may start out, you know, not, but over a while, you just get lulled into that rhythm. And see, it's the same way with our mind on how we do things. So, you know, I'm not saying kick all your old friends to the curb. I'm just saying don't let them drag, don't go down with the ship with them. You know what I'm saying? You know, we need to, you know, get that trust back, because, you know, the difference between the world system and God's system is God's system is based on giving, while the fallen world system is based on getting. All they do is want to get, and they don't want to give. But see, as a Christian, have you found out that it's easier sometimes to give? Now, sometimes, you know, you have to kill that stinginess. The best way to kill it is you start giving, okay? You know, if you worship money and you have a hard time giving things away, the best thing you can do is give something away. I'm not saying give your house away. Don't start there. Start with something. Start with a pencil or something. You know what I mean? Something easy. You know, but start giving things away. And then you'll start to see that cycle will start to get better. Now, we're so blessed that in our country, I believe that it's hard for us to recognize blessing. I mean, we have so much. Compared to other nations, it's just amazing. But see, you know, God's blessing is accompanied with contentment, while riches from the world is based on fear and lack. And we're going to go into this maybe later. But the idea of the Apostle Paul in Philippians, you know, he talked like he learned how to get along with a lot, and he learned how to get along with a little. It didn't really matter. Stuff is just stuff. That's all it is. Just stuff. And if your faith is in stuff, you're going to be disappointed. Because most of the stuff they make now doesn't last. You know what I mean? When I was a kid, you bought something, it lasted. You know, we had VCRs for years. You know what I mean? You'd even send them in to get them repaired. That's how important they were. But now you buy stuff and breaks, just toss it. Get another. And that's how we, that's into our mindset. So, what I want to ask us, and this is your question for the week, among others in life, is we need to settle our source, okay? And this is going to sound so simple, it's pathetic. And you're going to think, well, that's stupid, but it's not. You need to settle your source. Is God your source, or is your job your source? Here's what I mean by that. Two people, let's say you're at work tomorrow, and you're working right alongside some heathen. I mean, he's a heathen or she's a heathen. She has no interest in God. She hates God because God did all these bad things. And you're working right alongside that person. Now, you're making the same amount of money. You're doing the same job. The difference between a Christian, here's what you have to do, is you need to see that that job is a blessing from God. Doesn't matter what the person makes. They may be making the same money as you, but if we can get over into the mindset that this is a good thing, I believe a job is a good thing. To me, I like to work. Amen. I mean, it's a good thing. I mean, if not, you just, I mean, I've watched all the Gunsmoke reruns there is, Jack. I got to find something else, you know. I can't sit around and watch Gunsmoke all the time. You know, but you have to, God wants us to work with our hands. He wants us to be blessed, and he wants us to do those things. But see, the difference between a Christian and a non-Christian is that we see the job as a supply, not the source. Okay, it's a different thing. God is our source. So if we see every good thing and every good gift comes from God, well, then we see that a job is a good thing. And then what will happen just by that little tweaked thinking is it'll step you over into God's system, get you out of the world system. Okay? Now you're in God's system. Now you're looking for God. God, I thank you for this job. I thank you for this job as a blessing to me and my family. I thank you for that job, God. And, you know, just keep honoring. Then you honor him through obedience and then, you know, maybe sharing a little bit of your wealth. And then you start to work in that system. And then God will start to bless you in ways that you never imagined you could be blessed. Thank you. And it's just the way it works. I don't understand it. I'm not God. But if you start to go with his principles and flow with them, you know, then you're going to start to see things start to change in your life and things are going to be a lot better. I want to go into this last scripture just a little bit here. 2 Corinthians 9:8. It says, I'm going to read it from the Amplified. It says, and God is able to make all grace, every favor and earthly blessing come to you in abundance, so that you may always and under all circumstances and whatever the need be self-sufficient. That means possessing enough to require no aid or support and furnish in abundance for every good work and charitable donation. Okay, now, that's why we're blessed. Now remember, we started out that dominion was given and then dominion was lost. And here, the dominion is restored. What we see from this passage is a couple things. Number one, God has given us dominion that you can choose what to do with the money that God blesses you with. But we always have to remember that it came from God. See? It says there that God is able to make all grace, every blessing. Okay? So God's the source. And if we do that, we can see that we can get back to the place where God has given us that dominion where we can walk in blessing. And in my opinion, you can do whatever you want with that blessing. You don't have to share if you don't want to. But I would encourage you to share. God doesn't ask you to give everything that you have. He only asked the rich young ruler that. He didn't ask anybody else that I remember in Scripture to take, you know, give everything to the poor. He didn't. But he knew that money was this guy's God. So he wanted to kill that greed. All that God asks is that you and I flow with him. You know, you can, you know, just bless somebody in a lot of different ways. So that's why we're blessed. You know, we're here to, the purpose of blessing is number one, to reward the obedient. Number two is have extra to share. Number three, it helps produce thankfulness to the Lord. And number four, it reveals God's character better. What God's really like. You know, some people are scared of God. Some people think God has taken all the fun stuff away because they equate fun with sin, okay? But see, sin is pleasurable, but just for a season. It always has that nagging thing that doesn't bring pleasure for the long run. No matter what sin it is, you always have to have more. But see, when you get to the blessing of God, you start to walk in the peace and the trust of God and the things that God has for our life. And that's the powerful thing that we want to get into. So when we make God our source, it opens the door so that we can be somebody else's supply. Because I believe abundant means that we serve the God of extra. You know, a lot of people think that God just gives them enough to get by. It's a total misunderstanding of God. God, what it says there in that passage is that God wants to bless us so that we can meet our needs, but also he wants us to have extra. And then he encourages us to be somebody else's blessing, okay? And if you want to be that person, I believe God will bless you. God, bless me so I can bless somebody else. But don't do a trick with God saying, God, I'm just saying that so I can keep it all myself. God knows your heart. Right? He sees right through us. So we need to get to the place that we're blessed. So we need to stop, like I say, trusting God just to get by, but start trusting God to get ahead. Now, you know, we need to live. I'm just going to cut some of this off a little bit. You know, I don't want to blow past these things. But we need to live with divine dissatisfaction balanced with supernatural contentment. And I alluded to Paul a moment ago, okay? Now, what I mean by divine dissatisfaction, I don't wear the mic cut off, but, you know, we need to live with that divine dissatisfaction balanced with supernatural contentment. And what it means is the fact that, you know, I know that God has more, even though I don't have it yet, but also I'm satisfied with where I'm at. I'm not anxious, you know, I'm not unsettled. Because I don't have everything God's given me, but I do know I am heading that way. I'm heading to where God wants me, and that's where I need to get. That's the call that he has on us believers. You know, there's so many people with need, and, you know, I believe that God is looking for vessels that he can use to pour his blessings through, okay? And we can be that person. So to do so, you know, we need to stop focusing on the fruit and start focusing on the seed. The seed is for us to use for the future. Amen? And I'm going to cut that off right there. I have a lot more to go. I guess I wasn't as fast as I thought I could be today. Anyway, we ran a few rabbits, but that's okay. So I want us to see that, you know, we're blessed to be a blessing. I want you to see yourself this week. Maybe if you have to write a 3x5 card down and put it on your mirror. You know, maybe you've been raised in life and told that, you know, you're no good or you're not good enough or that you have these problems or whatever the case may be. But we need to change our image of how we see ourselves in the scope of God's creation. Amen? Amen? We were created in his image. Yes. And when we're born again, we've been restored back to the place that God has for us. Let's pray.